Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another new episode of Undying Light. I'm your host, Pastor Alex. And here we are once again in the Gospel of Matthew. And right before New Year's Day / New Year's Eve. It's Friday by the time this will air, so just a couple days here ahead of the new changing. And I have to say, reflecting back on Christmas, we had a very successful Christmas, and really reflecting back on the year in our church, we had a very successful year. Saw a lot of nice growth, a lot of younger families coming, and we've had some transplants, and we've had new people who have moved to the area and have started coming on a regular basis, and that is just absolutely tremendous. So I'm very, very happy with how 2023 came out, and I'm very optimistic about 24, and I'm very excited for what the Lord has in store for this community. But so that's, it was a great Christmas Eve and a great Christmas Day service, and I'm very thankful that so many were able to join us in worship of our Messiah to be born. So now we continue on in the church calendar, and we continue to look at the text from the eyes of Mark and John. Those will be our focus for the year in the lectionary in our church. So I'm kind of debating whether I'm going to follow those patterns and use that text, the recommended text, or if I might do a series or two on my own. I haven't really fully decided to yet or committed to anything indefinite, but that's what we are, what we could potentially do. So, but in the Bible study at our church, I'm going to leave it to the people who attend it to make the decision. We can either go into the Gospel of Matthew and really all four Gospels for that matter, because we were working through the lives or through the life of Jesus through the eyes of the Gospel accounts. And so we've been looking at all four Gospels, and we were right around, I think, Matthew 13 is where we left off. So we spent a good year working through that. And if they decide to pause, we might do a study on the end of times. So we might take this year and study the end of times as our main focus, as kind of the world seems to be in utter chaos at the moment. So it might be a good study to help kind of ease the tension and ease the burden in people's lives. So, but for this show, you can go back and listen to all of our shows on eschatology. We dropped those back in 2020 and then 2021. And if you're interested in all that, we did a pretty extensive study then. And but now going forward, it's still the Gospel of Matthew. We're in the 20th chapter now, beginning this week. And so we will be looking at these first 16 verses today. And of course, this will be a parable that Jesus speaks. And we'll tie this in to its placement and understanding and work through it. And that'll be that. Next week, there's three short sections left. 17 through, looks like 34 here is the end of the chapter. But we have Jesus foretelling his death a third time, a mother's request, and Jesus healing two blind men. So the mother's request might be the main focus, but I think we can wrap up chapter 20 next week and get through all three sections. and then we'll work on 21 as the triumphant entry, and then we'll place that into the perspective of Palm Sunday and how that is going to lead us now to the cross. So 21 to the end is essentially the end of the ministry of Christ. We are pretty close to that border here, working on chapter 20. So let us begin with the first verse. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You go to the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, and the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now, when those who were hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them received a denarius. And after receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only an hour, and you have paid them equal to us, who have borne the labor and borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to him, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. So again, a parable set up, and it's a really quite a fascinating one. And we see, you know, these different people coming into the vineyard, and they all will end up receiving the same reward, the same payment, even if they've only worked an hour versus the entire day. So let's put this into some context. Obviously, we like to know how we're dealing with the text and how it is to be read. And I've said it a number of times on the show before, you know, taking consideration that when Matthew wrote this, that there were not chapters and verses or section breaks, that this was one long, cohesive text. And now we have, you know, the chapter markers and the verse markers, and you know, the newer translations in the Bible all have little nifty section headers to kind of talk to, you know, give you a kind of a precursor of what's there. And so it would be hard for us to just read 19 and then get into 20 and think we're in a whole different section, because, you know, you think kind of in the construct of how we read books that the chapter, you know, the beginning of the chapter is now a new scene, a new place, and something different than what was previously discussed. But that's not often the case with the Bible. Even when you see chapters happen, it is not necessarily the changing of a location or scene. It just simply can be the changing of a topic or the changing of attention or audience, perhaps. But in 19 and 20, we have one cohesive kind of movement, and we've talked about this in the last few episodes, but now we get into 20, and we're getting a reflection back to verse 30 of chapter 19, and it is very similar in construct to verse 16 in this, the last will be first and the first last. So this parable is essentially the middle meat of those two verses, from verse 30 in chapter 19 to verse 16 here in chapter 20. So this bracketing structure suggests that God's mysterious ways of revising things is the parable's point. It's reversing things, I should say. So that this is kind of the understanding to the greater things in the gospel and how it affects us. It is not always just something that we can address and assert that, you know, because I was a Christian early in life that I'm going to receive, you know, X, Y, and Z reward. because I labored through life and I slaved through life and I endured hardships, and I should get a better reward than the person who comes to Christ maybe minutes, days, weeks, months, or something before the end of their life. My reward should be greater. And what God is showing us and what Christ is demonstrating here is that that's not the case. It is always the reversal of what we think from a human perspective. We think that if we put in more work, we put in more effort, we will receive more reward. Now, from a secular perspective, in most cases, that is going to be true. If you are in a job and you work harder, you show up early, you dedicate yourself more than the person that was just hired or the person who doesn't put in as much work, there are good chances that you will succeed or go further, excel further than that other person. And that's a very common thing in the workforce, in the workplace. And that's why we think in the construct of this verse, like that's what should traditionally happen. If we place ourselves here, we would be acting as those people who, you know, were hired in the morning. Well, I've done my work. I've done my job. Shouldn't I receive more just payment? And we essentially would despise those who came late because we would think that they were not worthy for this reward, for this payment. So let's look into this parable just a little bit closer. I mean, it's like I said, it's fairly straightforward. There's not a whole lot that needs to be, I think, hopefully explained, but we'll do it anyway just so you feel comfortable reading the passage. You know, like I say, you know, I haven't really actually maybe declared it in a while or said it in a while, but the show's purpose is to take these texts and break them down and explain them so that way anybody from any denominational background or any theological background can listen to the show, hear the passage, and get even just a basic understanding. Okay, this is, I get, you know, this is what I hear going on. This is what I see happening. This makes sense to me. It's easy for me to follow. It's easy for me to understand. My purpose and premise of the show has always been never to make this super complicated or this massive theological deep dive into all these complex seminary level theological degree debates and all that stuff. I just take the stuff and make it simple for people to hear because there are more Christians out there than there are academics. And those Christians are the ones that need to hear these passages explained. And so that's why I do this show. It is for you. And as much as I love the theological debates and discussions and all that, that is not really the purpose of the show. So let's dig into this. As I said, we kind of are setting up the brackets, if you would, between verse 30 of chapter 19 and the end of this little parable here, showing that the first will be last and the last will be first. That's the reversing of the human perspective. So we start with the master of the house here in verse 1. The owner, manager of a household, very similar, straightforward here. Some people could also even equate the master of the house to be Christ, you know, going out into the world and gathering these laborers. Basically, this could be the laborers could be the day laborers. This could be missionaries. It could be pastors. It could just simply be Christians. There's a few different ways that you can read this parable, but the best way that I've had it explained to me is simply this: the master of the house is Christ, the laborers are Christians. And that is a general scope, and that Christian, you know, title falls to missionaries, pastors, and lay people. And it comes from every denominational background, whether you're Catholic, Orthodox, Protestant, you fall into the category of a laborer. So you are designated to work. You are to work in the vineyard. The vineyard is the world. That is the, you know, the mission field, if you would. That is where we are to go out and preach the gospel, share the gospel, and be the light to the world. This is not anything that is not new, to Matthew. Matthew records that, especially in chapter 5 with the Sermon on the Mount, you know, you are the light of the world and the salt of the world. And so those are, you know, important passages to reflect upon, especially when looking at chapter 20 here and seeing now that you are a laborer going into the vineyard, or you are on mission into the world to share the gospel of Christ. So the way they start here in verse 3, the third hour, This would be approximately 9 a.m. But, you know, this is, again, a parable that's describing the construct of a day. So you'll see the third hour, the 11th hour, the sixth hour, you know, and the end of the day, you'll see all these different variations of time. And the but this is also can be viewed in the construct of life. The 9 a.m. or in this case here in verse 3, the third hour is early in life. You know, you grew up in the church. You've always had strong faith. You've always been a believer. You've shared your faith. You've worked your faith. You've, you know, persevered into the end, right? So that's the 3 hour markers. So, like I said, those are probably the easiest ways to really read this text. Yes, it is a parable, and yes, it is talking about just this, you know, master of the house going out and hiring workers to work his vineyard. Well, again, it's a very common way to teach in this time period with Christ, and this would have been a common thought process or something that they could equate to understanding, if you would, for the disciples, that they knew that this, you know, what these meant. So it was not an uncommon thing to know that there were people who just were general laborers and they waited for somebody to come by and hire them. And then those people that would be hired would end up going to work on, you know, whether it was like construction work or vineyard work or labor, but it would all be focused around, you know, doing something manual labor. So the third hour here in verse 3, again, kind of points us to a 9 a.m. You know, that's the start time, the 9 to 5 workday type thing. They are standing by idle, and they desperately need to work. So the master of the house comes, and he says, go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give to you. He doesn't set any specific wage for this group. He just promises them to be paid fairly. He just says, whatever is right to you, that's what I will pay you. And then now we move into verse 5, and we get to the 6th hour and the 9th hour. So you have now noon and 3 p.m. Approximately being used here. So you have the people who've been working since 9 a.m., and now you have people coming in at noon and 3 to work. And so now you're kind of getting so those reinforcements in the middle of the day. Verse 6, you got the 11th hour, which is an hour right before quitting time. So this would be probably about 4 p.m. In the time. And if we take, you know, the construct of the life view, if we would, you know, if we say that we are the laborers and the different times are the different times in our lives, I wonder if you can hear that. My wife is vacuuming right above me on hardwood floors, which is kind of interesting. We had guests over the weekend, so everybody's laughing now. Wife's cleaning the house. So if you can hear it, I'm sorry, but you know, hey, this is how we roll on the show. It's a live recording and I don't usually edit any significant mistakes out or pause because, hey, it's background noise and, you know, I'm a pastor in a basement recording a podcast for you. So if you take into consideration the third hour, the sixth hour and the ninth hour in the construct of life, and then you get to the 11th hour, the third, sixth, and ninth, you know, relate to points in life when we come to Christ, you know, early or middle or towards the late or towards the very end, you know, the 11th hour being that the ninth hour is approximately 3 p.m., the 11th hour then would be probably actually closer to 5 p.m. So they would, you know, being 2 hours later. So the 11th hour would be that later in life coming to Christ. You know, maybe you're an elderly person or maybe you were given a prognosis of a terminal illness or something and you don't have a lot of time left to live, or just by sheer lifespan, you don't have many years left to live. I mean, we all know that we're not going to live forever. So coming to your 60s and 70s and 80s, if you come to Christ, then you're certainly closing in or at that 11th hour, you know, and I pray that you don't, you know, come right before death, but there are times when you will notice that people come late in life to Christ. And guess what? We praise God and thank Him for being merciful to that person. So verse 6, the 11th hour is just before quitting time here in the parable. Moving on to 7th, you know, before we get there, the master of the house says, you've been staying here idle all day. They said, yeah, because nobody's hired us. This is interesting because, you know, hiring these men to only work an hour was a significant offering of charity here, ensuring that they would have gotten food that day as well. So this is significant to kind of demonstrate and paint, if you would, the mercy of the master of the house, because this probably didn't happen very often. Generally, they would probably stop gathering people after the ninth hour, if they would even get that far. They would probably just get people immediately there at the third hour and then maybe again at the sixth hour. But rarely would you ever have people get picked up with an hour to spare, because it would be, you know, from a business perspective, it would be a waste of wages, because they're only working an hour and they're not going to produce a full day's wage or full day's work for you to pay them. So these men are hired here in verse 7, obviously, like I said, a showing of generosity and charity. And now the day has come to an end, so he calls the foreman to him and says, pay the wages. He says, with the last up to the first, pay them each a denarius, right? So the foreman goes out and he gathers the workers and he pays them all the same. The people who came last get the denarius. The people who came first get the denarius. So verses 10 through 12 summarize this. The first people hired thought, because, hey, you know what? Those guys came just now. They got it paid a denarius. Maybe we might get two denarius. We might get a significant amount more because we've been here working all day. And remember, at the beginning of the parable, the master, the owner, does not give them a wage. He does not say, you will work for this wage. He just says, whatever's fair to you, I will pay. So the expectation of those hired first would receive more seems an actual reasonable response. But recall that they agreed to the denarius wage beforehand. They all agree that this is what they would get paid. So the verse 13, he replies to them and he addresses them, friend. And this applies an association, not merely just a personal affection. It means, you know, familiarity to it. And verse 14 carries on, take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. The I will here is emphasized, and it emphasizes the master's decision regarding the pay of those who were hired later lies completely within his discretion, right? The master controls what the wages will be. It is his decision. And that's the same thing if you work in a company. The owner determines the wages or pay ranges for particular positions. And it is up to the manager and the HR team and the owner to decide the wages of people coming in. And if you have more experience, you would get hopefully a higher wage. So as I mentioned, it's not an uncommon thought for these people who were first to assume that they would get paid more. And yet the agreeing upon wage was always a denarius. That's what they essentially set out to work in. So again, it's pretty straightforward, but it is at the master's discretion, and it's his decision to be generous to those who come late. But it doesn't mean that he shortchanges those who come first. On the contrary, those who are hired first receive the wage mutually agreed upon. And this is really the same. Being a part of God's kingdom is not based on earning or deserving anything, but it's rather on grace. And I think sometimes we as Christians can get lost in that kind of muddiness of it, and even get maybe a little bit taken aback that, you know, we grinded our whole lives for the gospel. We endured hardship and persecution and hatred, and yet this person that comes to faith at the end of their life is going to get the same reward as we do. And yet we should be in reflection of this and saying, praise God, because they heard the gospel and believed, and now they are no longer on the track to damnation. Praise God for that. That should be the outcome of the Christian faith. It doesn't matter whether we slaved our whole life away, because that is the goal of the Christian, is to keep preaching the gospel in hopes that somebody at some point will hear it and come to faith and believe, whether it's early in life, middle of their life, or end of their life. as long as there's breath in their lungs, we are preaching the gospel to them. And that should be the focus of the Christian. That needs to be the mindset of the Christian faith. And I think often we get kind of trapped in the, you know, these third hour mindsets where that we've been toiling away for so many hours, so many years, and it just beats us to all ends because somebody who, you know, didn't believe or was an atheist all of their lives, and now all of a sudden towards the end they become a Christian, and you know, and you grumble because it's like, ah, now they're, you know, they get the same thing that I do, but they hated God for so many years. Well, look at what the Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul was killing people in the name of God because he thought that what he was doing was the right thing. And in reality, we realize that Paul was very far off the track. He was performing actions that had no form of righteousness in them whatsoever. In fact, Jesus stops him on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9 and demands, "Why are you persecuting me?" And from there on, we know Paul goes on to become the greatest apostle to the Christian faith. And those are moments that we get to praise God for. And we get to sing those hallelujahs that we got to witness somebody come to faith when they didn't deserve it. Because guess what? We don't deserve it. It is all about grace and the generosity of God, the love and mercy and compassion of God to give us the faith to cling to Christ. That is how we should celebrate those people coming in. So serving the Lord's kingdom is a privilege and a labor of love. It's not just something that we take on to gain some sort of monetary reward or even an eternal reward. It is out of love, and it's a privilege to do so. When we begin to think that God's kingdom needs or depends on us, we are completely backwards. And it is, in fact, we who depend on it. Through forgiveness and the renewing work of God's Spirit, we can indeed be used by God for vital service in his kingdom. And that, to me, is just the most appropriate place for this passage, because it really demonstrates that it is us dependent upon God, but it is also our privilege to serve in God and serve in his kingdom and to call and preach the gospel to those who have never heard it, those who do not believe, and pray that they will receive it with faith and believe its promises. So that's how I'm going to wrap this passage up today, ladies and gentlemen, right below that 30-minute mark. Today's Friday when this episode will air. I am going to record the Rantathon. It is Wednesday as I record this episode, so I have to get my days in line here. It is Wednesday as I record it, the 27th. This drops on the 29th, Friday. And I'm going to hopefully have my Rantathon recorded either today or tomorrow. And that will drop on New Year's Day. So I don't know how long it'll be. In years past, it's been anywhere from 45 minutes to a couple of hours. I don't have any guests lined up this year, but I do have some topics in mind. So hopefully it'll be enjoyable. And it should just be me ranting and ranting and ranting about just all sorts of different things. So tune into that if you're into me just kind of picking apart some of the obscure issues going on in the world right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. I hope you had a very merry and blessed Christmas, and I hope you have a wonderful and happy New Year's, and I pray that God continues to pour out his faith and love upon you in the days, weeks, months, and years to come. Thanks again for all of your support and love. I will see you guys next week as we finish up chapter 21 in Matthew, but in the middle, you'll hear from me on Monday. So thanks again, guys, and have a great week. God bless.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
Kyler Tsinis. I'm Kyler Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.